You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily podcast on the Minnesota Timberwolves, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Welcome, 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 ladies and gentlemen, to another Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. I'm your host, Colt Molesky. And I'm joined, as we are pretty much every Tuesday, by Dane Moore. We are both contributors for ZoneCoverage.com covering the Timberwolves. And he joins us to really break down in depth the games every single Tuesday. And we had a doozy of a game last night, didn't we, Dane?
It was something. I haven't seen one of those in, well, probably since you were born, Colton.
It was so much fun to watch. The Timberwolves hosted the Cleveland Cavaliers, and they laid a licking on them. They beat them 127-99. That's right. You heard that correctly. I'm not messing up or looking at the wrong score box. 127-99. At one point, the lead for the Minnesota Timberwolves over the Cavaliers with LeBron James playing was 41 points, and they did not trail at all in this game.
You know, that 41-point number reminds me of another Cavs-related thing. If you remember the Eastern Conference Finals last season, the Cavs took a 41-point lead over the Celtics in Game 2 of the Eastern Conference Finals. And I just remember watching that game and just being one of the most dominating performances I've ever seen. Well, for sure in a playoff basketball game where it just kind of looked like varsity versus JV, and that was the game right before they shut down Isaiah Thomas. But really, it's funny to think that the Timberwolves were the ones dominating this time, and that same Cleveland Cavaliers team. The word you used was fun, and I just think that was accurate. It was, you couldn't watch that game as a Timberwolves fan and not just be having a blast. And shout out to Tyler Jones.
So for obvious reasons, this was a high profile game. You have LeBron James, he's always going to draw attention. This was a big game for the Timberwolves, just because the last primetime, the real big primetime game they had against the Celtics, they kind of came out a little flat. David and I were talking about that yesterday, how they looked a little flat. They didn't look like they were really kind of in a rhythm against the Celtics. They never really got in sync against the Boston. And so this was a really nice performance in prime time against a really premier team and against the best player in the world. They looked phenomenal. And LeBron James, only 10 points. First time this season he has only had 10 points. And I'm on the NBA.com site. Plus minus was minus 39. That's the lowest of his career. Just from a takeaway standpoint, how impressive is it that, I think too, another impressive thing is that not only did they hold LeBron to this, but they are coming off a game where they really suppressed Anthony Davis and DeMarcus Cousins. Those are two all-star caliber players, and now you have an MVP candidate in LeBron James who's getting held to a season low in points. What does this say about the Timberwolves' defense just over the last week and how they've progressed?
Another interesting anecdote stat there with the LeBron James 10-point scored was it's been 822 games since he's scored less than 10 points in a game, which is mostly just a compliment to him. But, yeah, it's crazy. The defense has just been working, obviously, way better. I thought an interesting piece added to the defense was the steals they were getting and their willingness to play in transition, which it seems like that's kind of the only situation in which the Wolves really want to push the pace is off of a steal. They're not going to grab a rebound and get out and run as much. But to answer your question more so about the defense, I mean, they were just active the whole time. I mean, really, you just kind of, at the beginning of that game, Kevin Love couldn't get anything going. LeBron often tries to distribute at the beginning of the game, and the Wolves just have this uncanny ability to jump out on the opponents at the beginning of games, apparently. I'm not sure. And kind of once they get rolling, there's a little bit of that snowball effect as they start moving downhill, and they just kind of put, you know, three out of the last, I think it'd be five opponents, pretty much out of the game in the first quarter. And this is the first real opponent you saw them kind of do it against, as the Cavs are obviously a contender, where the Pacers, without Victor Oladipo, or the Lakers aren't. But, to to shut down an offense with as many weapons as the Cavs have is a huge compliment to this Timberwolves defense, that it's time for us to stop considering them as one of the worst defenses in the league. We've been saying all year, what happens once they creep up to league average in defense? And the reality is they've been a top 10 defense over the past month, and that's not a small sample size. And Colton, as you said, there's been some formidable opponents in that run there. I mean, including Boston yesterday lost to, but I mean, you got the Cavs a victory, the Blazers, the Nuggets. I mean, they're playing some good, similar caliber teams, and the defense is consistently holding teams to under 100 points a night. There's a continuity that wasn't there before, and I think that's the biggest reason that this defense has improved. It's just continuity with the five players out on the floor. It's just really starting to work.
I think a player that we should highlight, just because we're talking about the Timberwolves defense, Towns really destroyed both Kevin Love and Tristan Thompson. No, they combined; those two players combined for 10 rebounds, and Towns had 19 points and 12 rebounds himself. He looked dominant against both those players. Really, whoever was playing at center, he had no trouble against either one of them. Has it gotten to the point where you can kind of depend on Towns to do this kind of defensive, both ends of the floor, defensive, offensive stuff, night in and night out, where now we've seen it for a large enough chunk of time this season where you can kind of just slot him to have a solid night on both ends of the floor, and it's not really that much of a surprise anymore?
I don't know. I don't know if I want to go that far. I'm willing to say it's
not
been
there
a
yet.
Very good. Yeah, it's been a very good 3 weeks for Karl Anthony Towns, and he deserves a lot of credit for that. I mean, he's learned. It's clear that he has progressed this season mentally. We knew the physical tools were there, and he's working harder to fight through screens, and he's staying in the proper position more often than he was. I mean, that was the issue with his game since Kentucky, where he would just chase blocks, irrationally.
Yeah.
And he's just really stayed home a lot more. And because of that, he's even gotten more blocks. It's really been an impressive run. I'm kind of more inclined to not forget the other, two plus years of kind of porous defense from him, but really, if we're looking in the immediate, what he's been doing has been something I wouldn't have seen coming, and so it's a huge compliment to him who he's just realized that this is what this team needs from him. They have Jimmy Butler, and they have the offensive pieces around. They have one of the best offenses in the NBA. This team becomes a top team by having an average to above average defense, and obviously the center is always a huge part of that. And no surprise, a good month from Towns, and this defense has been near elite. I can't believe it actually.
No, he looked really good, and over the last 3-4 weeks, he's done it against an array of opponents too, which makes it even more fun to watch that he's able to kind of switch his game up and make little tweaks and critiques to his game depending on the opponent. But like you're saying, the way he's playing just in his spots and holding true to his defensive assignment and not kind of chasing or losing himself in the defense has really been the big improvement. But then to be able to spin off that and play against two very different players and a guy like Kevin Love or Tristan Thompson has also been almost equally as impressive. You talked about blocks. We're going to get to a block from LeBron and Tyus Jones and talk about that as well after a quick break. But before the break, I just wanted to remind everybody, tomorrow is Draft Wednesday, where I set up a lobby on the Draft app, and you can come and play me one night only. You can come and play for some nice post-holiday cash on the Draft app by just drafting an NBA team to play against mine. You check that on the Draft app. That's going down tomorrow.
What am I going to get on the gambling podcast, Colton?
You know what? We could probably talk about that. You want to come this weekend? We could probably do.
I have this is a completely non-related to the Timberwolves comment, but I'm gonna do it because I'm the guest and I'm just gonna do it. What percent chance do the Tennessee Titans have of beating the New England Patriots?
None. Nope.
It's not zero. There's never zero is never the number. Come on. No. If you're a gambler, you know there's always.
Actually, I've done extensive research. It's actually exactly zero. It's exactly zero.
It is. Okay.
That's
good to know.
If you require your quarterback to throw himself touchdown passes to get back in a game, then you're probably going to lose against Tom Brady.
Well, shout out to Brad Johnson. I don't know if you were alive for that, Colton, but he once threw himself a touchdown on the Minnesota Vikings.
I saw that on Gruden's phone.
There you go. Anyways, back to the Timberwolves. For the record, I don't think the Tennessee Titans are going to win, but I can't ever remember a second round game where it was
more slanted towards the number one seed. That's actually, you know what, that brings up quick shout out to my own show. I'm going to shout out my own show for a quick second. Double or Nothing. It's on zonecoverage.com. Just started up last week. It's going to be coming out every Friday. We're going to have shows where I'm giving you things to bet on and things to look at as a gambler, as well as breaking down some games. We'll be talking a lot about the national championship game and Alabama winning overtime over Georgia. But quick shout out for my own show. I'm plugging that real quick. And we'll definitely – I got to get basketball guys on there because I love to bet basketball. But I did want to talk about LeBron James and that nasty block he had against Tyus Jones. I just felt bad for Tyus right away because LeBron knew he was going to block that just right away when Tyus got that ball.
I didn't know he was going to block it, man. It looked like LeBron was, like, lost for a second.
Like, it looked like he was a shark waiting for the surfer just to come off of the wave.
Yeah, it was – That was something else that hurt. But in fairness to Tyus, who LeBron called Tyler Jones before the game, he got him back with that dunk. And I can just tell you, like, standing around Tyus Jones from time to time when we get the chance to interview him, like, that is not a big person. Tyus Jones is small, like, is maybe 6 feet tall. And for him to get up and angrily dunk now twice in the past four games, I mean, props to that guy. Just love what Tyus Jones has done and stepping in for Jeff Teague here. And it's really cool to see how supportive Teague is, and everyone kind of is on that team. He's kind of the little brother of that team. But his play has been very, very formidable. What more can you have asked for a backup point guard to have stepped in the way he has for a team as good as the Wolves? That was a concern. That was a concern of mine, was what's going to happen at point guard without Teague. And, man, Tyus has been – he's done everything you could ask from him.
No, the 8 assists he had the other night were really important. I really loved the dunk. I really want this. I don't know if Tyus – I don't think it's critical when I say I don't know if he has the edge. I just think he cares too much about just winning every basketball game and doing all of his stuff right to worry about this stuff. But I really want this to be like a little rivalry between Tyus and LeBron. And I don't even know if LeBron would recognize it as a rivalry. But I really want Tyus to come in.
He doesn't recognize him.
I know, but I really want Tyus to come in to the next game with a huge chip on his shoulder and really come after LeBron and be talking smack. But I don't think that's going to happen. But hey, I can dream. I can dream about this.
Yeah, I think Tyus Jones and Lance Stephenson are wired a little bit differently, but Tyus does the talking with his play, and it's been talking. You know,
and he got the dunk
again. Yeah.
Speaking of play,
very impressive.
How about Wiggins coming back? Highlighted this game as one of the games where if he was going to come out of this shooting slump, this was one of the games to do it. He really likes playing Cleveland, really likes showing Cleveland up for trading him away for Love. And it's a team that he has confidence against. 25 points. He shot 47%, 6 rebounds. Looked really good. Went 2 for 6 from the 3-point line. I love that he shot 6 times from range. He and Butler really added some range to the Timberwolves game that I don't think we've seen very much of this season. I'm hoping that this is the bounce back game for him. I don't know if it will be. Time will tell, obviously, but I really hope this was the bounce back game that he desperately needed.
You know, the one thing that this game needed was a fight. And there was 2 opportunities. It would have just made the game a little bit better if there would have been a fight. And the 2 opportunities were after LeBron locked that Tyus shot, you saw Aaron Brooks get in his face a little bit.
I love that Aaron Brooks was the one that got in his face, too. Like, is there a shorter guy than Tyus Jones? Oh, Aaron Brooks? Yeah, you go fight LeBron.
Right. No, but that was awesome. Again, to show them that, you know, they have Tyus's back a little bit. But then, of course, Andrew Wiggins got judo chopped to the Adam's apple by Isaiah Thomas. And I don't know if the players on the floor really understood what was happening until they saw that replay, but that was obviously completely out of line by Isaiah Thomas. I would have liked to see somebody get in Isaiah's face after that, because, well, that was just not cool. I mean, you could seriously hurt someone there. Colton, I'm sure you have feelings on whatever it was that Isaiah was doing there.
I was so mad about, and I like Isaiah Thomas. I like the Mr. Fourth Quarter storyline that he had going last season. He needs to be suspended for this. He needs to be suspended a few games for this, because this was disgusting. Not okay. The obvious fact is Isaiah Thomas is really short, so him reaching for the basketball should be no problem. So he's already, you know, that this is intentional, because he has to reach so far up to reach Andrew's throat. But also the way that he chopped direct, there wasn't even a swipe to the basketball. He just swung right at his throat. He essentially became like a boxer at this point and was just swinging at his throat and karate chops him right to the. This was awful. It was disgusting. And if he's not suspended, this is a personal offense against the Timberwolves, and they need to come in with fire next time they play the Cleveland Cavaliers, because if he's not suspended, then they've got to fight this one out next time they meet for Wiggins, because this was atrocious, and it was a blatant chop at his throat.
Yeah, I mean, so what do you think was going on in Isaiah's head? I mean, just kind of that frustration of kind of getting beat really bad, and you just kind of black out and lose it for a second there. I mean,
yeah, I think that they were getting shellacked, and he was being a dick.
Yeah, I mean, that's probably what it was. I was trying to rewatch the clip a little bit and see if he was just trying to, like, swing up to knock the ball away, and he, like, kind of started with that motion and then just lost it and really followed through and knocked out Wiggins. I mean, yes, I totally agree with you. It was out of line. I would suspect that he does get suspended for that. That was just, there's no place for that in the league. Again, I wonder how it would have been different if it wasn't Andrew Wiggins, who we know has a little bit more of a passive personality. And what do you think would have happened if that was Jimmy Butler who got haymakered to the face?
Honestly, Wiggins was coming down fast. I don't know if anybody could have really done much, because I think you're just trying to catch your breath. I've caught some slugs to the throat before, and if you catch a really good one on the Avs apple, then you've got to really catch and gather yourself for a second. So that's, if you're a teammate, you got to jump in there. But if you just got hit, I think you just got to find your breath again.
It was kind of similar to the Matthew Dellavedova had a similar play on Bradley Beal. I think it was two nights ago, and to see him, you know, kind of get up. And
oh yeah, where he like grabbed his shoulders.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it wasn't as bad as Isaiah's, but Dellavedova also got ejected for that, I believe. And
yep.
But you saw Beal pop up right away, and like the little like scrum that's like a fight without actually punches being thrown ensued.
It was an NBA
I felt
fight.
Like an NBA fight. Yeah, that's a good way to put it. That was missing. That was missing in the Timberwolves game. But who knows? Maybe that would have put a sour taste in their mouth out of that game if a fight would have happened. But I'm pro fighting.
And you've seen this before from Isaiah Thomas, I think, where when they get down, you saw this one of the games that popped out to me was the Toronto game when they had a little bit of a win streak last season, and they went to Toronto and they got beat by 10 points in Toronto, and there was that play where he kind of broke away and he was driving to the basket, and Damari Carroll did the intentional, or it wasn't Damari Carroll, I think it was Patterson did the intentional foul to knock him off, and you saw him trying to get into it with players where Isaiah Thomas just kind of loses his cool when they're down, and this was a really uncalled for move, and he should definitely get suspended. Outside of that on Wiggins, I thought it was a joke that J.R. Smith was trying to defend him, because J.R. Smith is really bottom out just in his play. He didn't make a shot the other night, and him guarding Wiggins was no competition. It was no competition.
Well, I just think that's overall a storyline in this game, and just for the Cavaliers in general, is that they have a really bad defense. I mean, not to take anything away from what the Timberwolves did, that was an excellent game, but that is something entering the game you had to be looking at, was the fact that this Cavs defense consistently messes up on defense. They give way too many easy buckets. As you saw, there's just, we talk about, it's actually very similar to what we saw with the Timberwolves at the beginning of the year in a lack of communication, I think is a huge issue. I was saying this to Tim on Wolves Wired the other day, is you watch the Cavs play, and they're the team that like accidentally has two players on one guy, and it's not like a double team. They're just not paying enough attention or something. It's the Cavs have one of the worst defenses in the league, just objectively. I was watching them play the Magic two nights before their last game, and it's the same thing. They gave up 127 points to the Magic in regulation. They're a terrible, terrible defensive team. And I mean, I know Isaiah's own, this was only his fourth game, but he's certainly not going to help that. I know there's a little bit of this narrative of, oh, Isaiah's going to be able to relieve a little bit of the offensive, carrying the offense from LeBron, and then they can all focus on, LeBron and everyone else can focus on defense a little more. But if I'm the Cavs, if I'm a Cavs fan, I'm very concerned about the defense. And we know there's this flip the switch narrative that comes with the Cavs in the playoffs, but this defense is as bad as I've seen the Cavs defense at any time since LeBron came back, and the Wolves fully took advantage of that last night.
No, that it was really bad, and when you have them spreading the floor like they were as well, it looked even worse. But we'll get to that. We'll finish breaking down this game after another quick break. Jimmy Butler, I think, really was impressive because he was able to stretch the floor. That was probably the best 3.9 night just all around, where you didn't have one player kind of carrying the outside shooting. You had Crawford hit a couple. Jimmy Butler went 4 for 6. You had Wiggins hit a couple of them. Towns hit a three. You had a bunch of players contributing to a very solid, one of the better three-point shooting nights we've seen over the last probably 3 or 4 weeks from the Timberwolves. Is this something that they can kind of translate into consistency, or was this just them feeling it from outside and this was kind of a change of trend from the normal?
Well, Jimmy Butler is a funny three-point shooter. You look at his year-to-year three-point field goal percentages, and they're super volatile. I mean, it's up and it's been up and down. And if we're nitpicking weaknesses in his game, because it's been fantastic this season, particularly over the past month, but that is one area that lacks some consistency with him. But you see on those games like last night, where if he is on, then he can put pressure on the opposing defense in every area of the floor. He can get to the basket, get to the mid-range, and hit the three. If he has all three of those things working, we're talking about one of the most dynamic offensive players in the NBA. He just has this funny kind of form on his three-pointer when it's working, where he shoots it and he seems to land like 4 feet with the inside of the three-point line. The one player it reminds me of is Paul Pierce, used to always do that back on those championship Celtics teams. I don't really know what the idea of it is. Normally, jump shooters jumping straight up and down pretty much. But Butler and Pierce back in the day would kind of shoot a three and just like land forward in almost like a lunge. It's a little peculiar, but I don't know. Butler had it. He had it working last night for sure. What do you say? 4 of 6 from three.
Yep. Yeah. He looked really good. I know that it's only 4 3-pointers, but I thought early on the couple he hit two were really important to kind of jump start the 3-point shooting a little bit as well. So that I thought it was really encouraging, just because over the last week it kind of looked like their 3-point shooting was a little dead in the water, and so to see them kind of regenerate it a little bit, get jump start back to life was a good sign, I thought. Heading out, kind of the last thought I had coming away from this game, where the next six teams that the Timberwolves play, Thunder, they host the Thunder, host the Knicks, host the Trailblazers, then they're at the Magic, at the Rockets, and they host the Raptors. That's a really tough schedule, and they've already played some really solid teams in the Cavs, Pelicans, and Celtics. If they can come through this with even a couple games over 500 in this couple week stretch. What does that tell you about the Timberwolves team that we have?
Well, the Wolves are already the 4th seed in the West. They have the 7th best record in the NBA. So in ways they could live with going, 2-4 through that stretch. But I'm kind of with you. I think it is going to be over 500, and a major reason for that, well, obviously, they're playing basketball as well as they have all season right now. And then to have 4 of those 6 games be at home, I think is big. I'm really looking to this Oklahoma City Thunder matchup. I think it's going to be interesting. It's a different Thunder team than they played the first 3 times. The Thunder kind of began to put it together. And I think that's a particularly interesting matchup for a couple of reasons. One, my belief is that the Timberwolves are going to get the 4 seed and the Thunder are going to get the 5 seed. So in a way, it's a playoff preview of sorts. But also that Thunder team really profiles in a way that kind of highlights some of the Timberwolves' weaknesses. We saw in the last Thunder matchup, Steven Adams really be an issue on the boards. That big, strong center who's trying to offensive rebound. I kind of saw Aron Baynes do that in the Boston game. That's something the Wolves struggle with a little bit, giving up offensive rebounds. The Thunder also play a stretch 4, playmaking type 4 all the time, and that's an issue for the Wolves to defend. We've seen Nemanja Bjelica struggle with that a bit when he's in kind of in the second unit, and if he has to be guarding, Carmelo, that's a problem. And then also Russell Westbrook, just at the 1, as good as Tyus Jones has been, he's just a big point guard mismatch. Yeah, right.
No discredit to Tyus.
Yeah. I mean, I think Tyus has been really formidable this year, and he's made some strides in his defense, but he is undersized, and so is Jeff Teague when he returns, maybe for that one that is the playoff series. I think that's an issue. So it would be, honestly for me, it would be almost just as impressive to come out and get a victory over the Thunder as it would be to the Cavs. I know the Wolves have already beaten them twice, but this Thunder team is really starting to find their stride, and they are the type of team that kind of highlights the few weaknesses that the Timberwolves have. So I guess to answer your question, I'm kind of looking at it one game at a time, as I'm sure the team is too. But it is nice to have the Thunder at home, the Knicks at home, and the Blazers at home, all of which are formidable opponents. But the Wolves have to be the favorite in all 3 of those games, given the home field advantage.
Yeah, I think you kind of almost lucked out a little bit just getting so many of these teams at home. Obviously, the Rockets on the road is going to be no easy task, but a lot of these teams at home is a big advantage. I would caution Timberwolves fans, don't sleep on the Knicks. Porzingis is amazing, and Frankie Smokes, the French point guard, he's playing well. Don't sleep on Frankie Smokes, man. He's playing really good defense.
Enes Kanter, too. That's another one of those Steven Adams, Aron Baynes type of big guy that caused issues on the offensive glass. And
he's going to push and shove and call you names.
Yeah, that's something he's going to do.
All righty. That's it for us wrapping up the game. Thanks again, Dane, for coming on a Tuesday, breaking it down with us.
No problem, man. Thanks for having me. And just a plug, we had Tim and I had Kevin O'Connor on Wolves Wired yesterday. So that's pretty evergreen conversation. If anybody wants to check that out, subscribe to Wolves Wired. O'Connor was nice enough to come on with us.
There we go. That's a big get. Nice. Definitely go check that out right after you're done listening to this podcast, as well as checking out all the other wonderful things that we have on zonecoverage.com. This has been Colt Molesky and another Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.